Want to have your own business but don't want to start from scratch? Franchising might be the answer you're looking for. Welcome to the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show, the show that brings you thought leaders in business, franchising, and high-performance personal development. Whether you're a buyer, seller, franchisee, franchisor, or consultant, find everything you need to know about franchising right here. Own a business without the pain and financial losses that come with creating it. Find the time, freedom, and financial independence you can have through entrepreneurship. Learn how franchising can help you get there. Listen up and get ready for another episode of The Level Up with Nick Lopez Show.
Welcome to The Level Up Show with Nick Lopez, where we have the absolute pleasure of learning from thought leaders in business, franchising, and high performance personal development. Today's guest goes without exception. He is most certainly a high performer. He started his career on the fast track to the NFL, but was sidelined due to a serious injury. But thankfully, his father prioritized academics. He would then go on to establish himself as a high performance sales individual in the marketplace. He does professional bodybuilding, competes in that space, and is currently the executive vice president of sales for an extremely fast growing roofing company called Linear Roofing. Tony Taveras, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Taveras, Tony Taveras. Yes, Taveras. Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's great to be on here, Nick. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for making the time. Really excited to dive in and learn from you and allow our audience to get some tips and tricks and most certainly level up. So let's get started with your background. I shared a little bit here in the intro, but if you wouldn't mind starting with your journey from LA Fitness to Linear Roofing. And tell us a little bit about Linear Roofing.
Yeah, what a crazy journey it's been. I do feel like one day there's going to be a documentary on this thing. That's how crazy this story really is. And I still feel like we're in the baby fetus stage. It's like I've always said this as I've moved up in my sales career, that every stage that I get to, it's like we're warming up. We don't want to get comfortable. We're warming up. We're not even there yet. So too many people, they level up and then they get comfortable and stagnant. And that's not what we're looking to do here at Linear Roofing. But my background, I started, you mentioned the dream was to go to the NFL. I was a top athlete out of my high school. My high school was a little town in Texas called Groesbeck. I grew up in a town called Groesbeck, Texas. Our mascot was a goat. That's why I got nicknamed the goat from like 12 years old. Many people see my Instagram, Tony Goat Taveras, and they're like thinking this is like some cocky dude, but it really wasn't that. I was named that from 12 years old because I was a Groesbeck goat, believe it or not. And then my dad told me what goat meant greatest of all time. And since then, I just ran with it. And anything that I touched, I wanted to be the best at it. So I was a top athlete out of high school. I was all state. I was big in academics, got recruited by Princeton and Harvard. I took visits to Princeton and Harvard, and my dad wanted me to go there. And for me, I just wanted to play ball. So I ended up choosing to play ball at North Texas, right in my backyard. I mean, it was 2 hours away from Groesbeck. My sophomore year had a bad injury. I got cut on a kickoff. My hip and pelvis came out of alignment. You know, I was having sharp pains up my pelvis, and I just decided to walk away from the game. And I was in line to definitely go to the NFL. So that dream was shattered. And after that dream was shattered, I ended up stumbling upon LA Fitness. So ended up getting recruited. I was working out at a gym one day, and a guy that was running the newest location in Denton, Texas, ended up pulling me in for an interview. I sat down with the vice president at the time, and that VP at the time, I didn't know this was going to happen, but that VP at the time, the regional, his name was Kurt Linnington, and he gave me my first real sales position. Fast forward 15 years later, I'm still with him, believe it or not. That's the CEO of Linear Roofing. So we've been together now for 15 years. I became one of the top sales, PT sales trainers in the country for LA Fitness. So I started at 21 years old. I got really, really good at selling personal training. I had a theater background. So that kind of that acting and that over the top and that excitement and that energy coupled with my athletic background and understanding personal training, it took off. I got really great at selling. I became a vice president for LA Fitness at 24 years old. I became a regional at 26. I was on the acquisition team for LA Fitness. So when we would go acquire other health club chains, I was actually the guy going into these acquisitions and training all the personnel on how to do what we did in selling PT our way, right? And integrating them into our systems and processes and scripts, et cetera. And at about 27, 26 years old, I was a regional. I was running the entire West Coast of Florida from Tampa down to Naples, all the $10 million facilities. And you would think I was good. I mean, at that point, I was running all the beach clubs. I was going to the beach on the weekends. I was making over $200,000 a year. I was in my 20s. And people were like, isn't this what you wanted? And at that point, I felt like I was late to the dance. I felt like I was late to the dance to become a partner with that organization. We had gotten so big. We were a $1 billion organization at the time. And I was this young gun coming up who felt I was a little too late to the dance to earn the equity that I wanted to earn. And I ended up visiting Kurt Linnington, actually, who was still in LA Fitness with me at the time. He was an executive with LA Fitness, visited him for his birthday, and he showed me the model of linear roofing. He actually started linear roofing on the side while we were in LA Fitness. And I looked at the model and I said, man, you got something here. This could be something special. And how I knew that, my parents were actually running a business called ILSA, Insurance Licensing Services of America. So they owned that, ran that for over 20 years. So their clients were Chubb and AIG, some of the biggest insurance carriers in the world. So I saw that there was so much potential if a company could come in roofing in the insurance space, in the insurance restoration space, and do it right, that they could scale and become something great. So I decided to resign from my role and take a shot on roofing. And now you fast forward 8 years later, which is fast in our space. We've now become the authority figure in roofing. We transacted with private equity about 7-8 months ago, which was the largest deal in our industry in the insurance restoration space. And now we're basically tacking on another roofing company every 2 to 3 months into our platform, which I own stock in that platform. And the goal is to eventually transact again within the next 12 months, which could be about $1 billion. So we're doing it right. I got featured on an HGTV show, and now we are scaling and growing at a rapid, rapid pace. So that's where we're at today.
Clearly, you can see that Tony is an individual that doesn't settle for mediocrity, right? And breaking ceilings, getting in that uncomfortable zone to get better and ultimately hit the next level. You know, you mentioned a lot there, right? But what stood out to me is a high performer. And that was really why I was wanting to have you on the show and just share your mind around performance and specifically sales and home service. There's plenty to glean. But I'm curious, as you were kind of wrapping up there, you talked about these strategies for growth with linear roofing. So what is the model? Is it a licensing model? Is it a franchise model? Is it corporate? Sound like you're acquiring smaller roofing companies when they come into the fold. What's that relationship? What is your expansion strategy?
Yeah. So how we started this thing, we started it where I was the guy on the ground just learning how to do the process the best to my ability. It's one person at a time. And I got in the field. I learned how to knock doors at the highest level in this industry. And I figured out if I was a homeowner, how would I like to be coached on the process? And I didn't have any bad habits. I didn't know anything about roofing. I didn't even know what a shingle was, guys. I mean, it's like to walk into a space and not know anything. It was actually my advantage because I knew sales and I knew customer service. I knew how to create value. And so I walked in and I said, how do we make this the best process we could possibly make this? Because a lot of people could put on a roof, but it's about giving them the best experience that they've ever had with a GC in their entire life, because that's going to lead to more business and more referrals. And so that's how it started. And basically, I started recruiting some of the top sales personnel that I ever worked with in the fitness industry. one by one by one. Top VPs, top directors, top general managers who also didn't know roofing. So we actually built a company, the number one company in this space, and we built it around guys who didn't even know anything about roofing. They just were really great at sales and customer service. And so we brought in true professionals. We taught them how we did it with no bad habits. And then really we showcased our people. We made it about our people, and we made it about our people winning. And we got them winning at such a high level that it changed their lives and their families' lives. And then we created this social media presence where it truly became a culture that you wanted to work for. So it's not like we had to go out and create all these Indeed ads and all these monster ads and do all these job fairs. It was like we built this thing one person at a time by getting them up to speed and getting them winning and taking care of our people. Because a lot of roofing companies are known for bringing people in, giving them a script and telling them to go knock doors, and they don't train them. From a fitness sales background, I was used to in LA Fitness running boot camps every single week and drilling the scripts. So we got to the point where we did the same thing in roofing and we got people up to speed so well, they started making great money and they started telling people what this thing was about. And lo and behold, 8 years later, now we're up to about 200 project managers, just in our company, not in all the other companies that are in line with the platform. And that's our model. It's an independent contractor model to answer that question. So it's not like in LA Fitness, we had employees. In this business, you have to get people to do the job and be great at it by choice. You can't force them to do anything as an independent contractor. So you got to create a culture that influences thinking rather than trying to control the results and force people to do anything, because you could catch yourself in hot water if you do in an independent contractor situation and business.
So really growing through a corporate model and leveraging independent contractors.
Yes, 100%.
So, yeah, what a beautiful way to expand. And I'm looking forward to getting into a little bit more of the weeds on your thoughts around scaling a sales team and some of the process there. But before we do, I want to get your take on what you think separates high-performing sales reps, average and low performers. What are some common denominators that you see that creates that separation?
I would probably say for me, because I sold at the highest level for about 12 years, I was selling. And then I got to the point where then I'm training leaders to teach other people how to sell. So for me, I think a lot of people who stay in that mediocre type lane, who never really bust out and become great, great performers, they make it all about the money. Because if you make it all about the money, what happens is when you get enough money, you start slowing down. So a top performer is actually able to every month, because in LA Fitness, we had a quota every day. So in my club, I had an invoice goal. I had to sell at one point $10,000 of personal training every day in my store. It got ingrained in me as a salesperson. I can't blank one day, because if I blank one day and I don't have my appointment set up, it was all about sets, shows, and closes in that business. If I didn't have appointments walking in and I blank, I'm now $20,000 in the hole. So you have the ability to understand every day is its own day, every month is its own month, and it just resets. So once you get done with a month, you can't rest and say, oh, I had a great month. I made all this great money. It's not about the money. It's about becoming the best version of yourself and getting the people around you to become the best version of yourself. And if you focus on that, then you're constantly reading books, you're constantly training, you're constantly getting better, and you're constantly focused on how do I help the customer? And the money will just flow to you. So I think high performers, yeah, you got to want to make money. You got to be motivated. Motivation is fleeting. It doesn't last, right? You got to have discipline and consistency to be a high level performer where you don't let the money control your actions, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Yeah. Obviously a solid process that you execute on and you're totally sold out to, even down to the nuanced details.
Yeah,
you do it consistently day in, day out, which means you're doing it even when you don't want to.
Yeah, almost like bodybuilding, right? I can't go into a show being in the Olympia, being in the Arnold, and have days where I take off. You can't have those days, or you're falling behind the competition. So to your point, you got to get so great. Your focus has to be getting so great at your process. They talk about you got to be doing something for over 10,000 hours to master it. And so many people, they come into an industry and they're like, oh, I want the success now. And they've only given it 50 hours. They're only given it 100 hours. Like, you got to give your craft 10,000 hours minimum to become a master. And to your point, perfect your process and become the best at what you do. And once you get to that point, the money's going to flow to you. The customers are going to flow to you because they're going to want to work with the best.
Yeah, I love how you put that, where you're focused on the customer, right? You're not focused on the money. You're focused on being committed to the details of the process day in, day out, even when you don't want to.
Yep.
And you're focused on what's best for the customer. You know, eliminate some of that commission breath, which it can be all too common in the sales world. And we all have that meter, and any customer is going to see that a mile away.
Yep.
But as you're talking, I'm wondering, how do you scale behavior across a sales organization?
It's definitely, you got to be able to showcase the wins and those that are doing the right things, the right habits that lead to success. So definitely giving recognition and showcasing those and having them stand out. For instance, just an example, when we started Linear Roofing, we didn't know any better. Once again, we didn't know anything about roofing, but we knew, how are we going to create a sales force and how are we going to trickle from the best player to the other players? What works? And what we did was, what we created a platform, GroupMe, which is just a simple app that many people know about. You got apps like GroupMe, apps like Pronto we've used before in the past. But when we started Linear, when we only had five guys, we got GroupMe, and all day long, we were all on this GroupMe when we were even just five people, and we were sharing wins. We were sharing the tips and the tools and the things that were working at doors and with customers to everyone in the organization, all the way till at this point when we have 200 people, that hasn't went away. So you're able to showcase the habits. So if you got a killer that's your top performer and he's waking up every day and he's in the field at 9 a.m. and he's speaking to 50 customers a day and he's making the right amount of attempts and he knows it's a numbers game and he's executing certain things in his process, you're showcasing those things. So then people are like, oh man, I got to do what that guy's doing. Because we talk about it in sales, and in both organizations I was in, success and failure leave clues. So you got to be able to give the right clues to your people on how they can win the game. Because once you figure out the game, whatever game you're in, whether it be painting, GC work, flooring work, when you figure out the game, then you can master it. So that's what it's been about, is basically sharing those wins with everyone and then getting them into a room together and training on those things and drilling what truly works and constantly evolving it to make it better and better and better.
Creating a culture, right? You had talked about, from a recruiting standpoint, doing something very similar, right? Leveraging the culture, creating that image and the brand of what it means to work for Linear Roofing, and then continuing to do that inside the organization. But to your point, success leaves clues. So modeling, hey, what are the top performers doing?
Yes.
And putting the highlight on them.
Yes.
Clearly, salespeople are competitive, right?
Yeah.
And they want to win. They want to know, what are the cheat codes and how can I level up?
Yep.
And so if you are doing a great job within your organization of demonstrating best practices from peers, there's no better way, right? It's different when you say, hey, top down, here's a new process, do this, do that. It's much different when it's coming from a peer.
And I think it's also something I just thought about, what separated us quickly is getting your people to understand that you are truly trying to help them grow in all aspects of life. It's not just what you are doing. And that's the culture we've created, where we'd get in a room as leaders and every other week we're reading a new book together and we're sharing insight. Like, we're trying to become better fathers, better husbands, have better character outside of work, because we truly believe that your personal life will bleed into the business. If you got issues personally with your character, with your integrity outside of the business, that shit don't just shut off, right? It's like, who you are outside of the business in your personal life, that's who you are inside. All is one. So our people have a feel of we truly care about their growth in all aspects. And then another thing is we look to make this thing fun. Too many times people are door knocking. And after you start door knocking, after you're door knocking for over a year or two, some people get bored of it. You're getting rejection. It could get old. You could say, man, am I going to be door knocking forever? So how do you make this thing fun? How do you reward your people? Have champions dinners? Hell, we even created superheroes and animals, spirit animals for everyone to embody. I mean, this was in the first couple of years of the business. When people would make their first sale, we would actually award them a spirit animal, like what they wanted to embody. And then when they would get wins throughout their career with us, we would send out gifts of that animal or that superhero. And so it doesn't even become work at that point. It truly becomes, if you got a sports background, it's like, I'm just going to have fun with my teammates and go get wins today, because we all have a role to do. The lineman, the wide receiver, the running back, the quarterback. And if we all are doing our job, we're going to win the game.
Yeah, doing it collectively and investing in the people on the team beyond just, hey, we care about the bottom line. We care about what you do from 9 to 5.
Yep.
It's about developing leaders and developing good states of mind, good character,
yep,
and an appreciation for the service, the customer, the team, and embodying the values of the organization. So you'd mentioned something about the spirit characters and running with that. I can see how that's playing on a little bit of the alter ego, but doing it in a fun way. Are there any other fun gimmicks or nuanced team building activities that you guys do to make it fun? Because to your point, when you're out there grinding and getting after it day after day, building a pipeline, generating leads, and you're doing it by knocking on doors, it's a grind.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'll give you a recent example, an example from this month alone, something truly practical that people can implement immediately. Like for instance, this month, it's March. What's the big thing that everyone's going to be seeing all day long on TVs? March Madness. It's going to be hitting people subliminally. So we play on that. We have fun with that. So we actually created a March Madness competition with our entire sales force. Because once again, just knocking doors, getting adjuster meetings, getting signings, shit could get old for some people, right? It's like, I'm doing the same thing every single month. So what are you doing to make it different every month and get people excited about coming in and going to work and doing what they do? So what we did is we created a point system where we have March Madness in our organization, in our culture. So it's like we gave 5 categories where it's like you get a Google review, a BBB review, a Nextdoor review, Nextdoor app review, you get a point. You get an insurance call, you get 2 points. You get a signing with a customer, you get 3 points. You get a solar bill, right, in hand so we can set up an appointment for solar. You get another 2 points. You do a proper post-install checklist with the customer, sign off on the customer satisfaction sheet, you get a point. So we looked at what are 5 key things that we need to be focused on and drive. Let's put those in the point system. And now you're not looking at it as work. You're looking at it as I'm trying to go score buckets. I'm trying to go get dunks and free throws and 3-pointers to score. And then what we do is the top 10 point scorers are all going to go to a Mavs game and be at a suite, and we're going to have a champions dinner. So now those top performers are like, man, I'm trying to score as much as possible. So now your organization is getting tons of Google reviews. Maybe you haven't done good at that. And now you've just flooded in 1,000 reviews for your organization just because you created a point system and had fun with a game, right? So that's a prime example of thinking outside the box to get your people to have fun and go get wins and execute.
Yeah, month to month, right? You'd mentioned that the spirit animals early on, but that's evolved all the way down to on a monthly basis, consistently communicating internally. And it's like a marketing department within the organization that is focused on, you can say the audience is culture and the internal culture. But the focus there is obviously embodying values, best practices, but building the culture and what it means to be somebody at Linear Roofing. Oh, it's beautiful and it's fun. And that's what it's all about, is having fun. And it takes being intentional about investing in your people, but clearly it pays off in multiples and just seems like the right way to do business, really.
Yeah.
Because to your point, you're focused on investing in the people beyond just the role, but clearly they're in the role to make money. And this is just really doubling down beyond the process, beyond the systems, beyond sharing best performer, but it's creating a culture of high performance and the Linear Roofing way of doing business. I love it. It's some top tier business practices. It doesn't surprise me. It's exactly why I wanted to have you on the show. Yeah. I'm leveling up and I'm definitely going to be implementing some of this.
That's awesome.
I love it. Appreciate you sharing. So there's some feedback that you can get from your sales team, right? And you can ask them, hey, how'd you guys do this week? And their response is always going to be, oh, we crushed it, right? No sales rep, bottom performer to top performer, is going to say, I didn't do that well this week. Everyone's putting in the time. Everyone's getting after it. Everyone's having a busy, productive week, according to them. But we know that that is subjective. And what is truly objective is the numbers, the data. And so you alluded to it a little bit, and maybe this is those points, maybe it's other points, but you have to have some KPIs, some key performance indicators that the business really focuses on. And it's across the board, all across 100%. The organization. But what are some of those leading indicators or just indicators in general from a sales standpoint that you're infusing into the organization to not only help them be successful, but to objectively get a pulse on, hey, was this a productive week?
Good question there. And in our field now, like I said, in personal training, the amount of sets you have, your conversion rate, those same things apply to many different businesses. So in our business now in roofing, you ain't getting no signings if you can't get leads. Your first job that someone's got to understand, if you can't generate leads, you're not going to make it in this business. So if you can't knock doors and get on a roof and get an inspection, you might as well not even think about being in this industry. You got to do that first. So the first thing is being able to get leads, because it's all a numbers game, right? And then you got to realize, maybe early on in your career, your conversion. So the next thing you're looking at is, what is your conversion from getting leads to turning them into prospects? And in our business, a prospect is when they have called insurance, right? You can get leads all day long, but if you actually don't get them to call insurance, you ain't getting no signings. So you're getting them to walk down that line. So from lead to prospect, you want to have a conversion rate of at least, the goal for a top performer is at least 50%, right? So if you're getting 30 leads in a month, you're getting 15 prospects, you're on the right track. And then how many insurance calls does it take you to get to a signing, right? So let's say you get 15 insurance calls and you're getting 10 of those ultimately to get to a signing. That means you have a gap there. You have something that you're missing. You're missing 5 of those 15. So you need to get your conversion rate. What are you doing that's off, that's not allowing these customers to stick and potentially go with someone else? Because you're getting people to call insurance just to go with another company. Right. So all the way down the line, from leads to converting them to a prospect, to getting them to call insurance, to getting them to an adjuster meeting, your conversion rate at getting an adjuster meeting bought, to then when you get that adjuster meeting bought and you get that insurance paperwork, what is your rate of getting them to a signing and to an install? So leads, prospects, signings, and your conversion rate in between. Those are going to be an indicators for a salesperson to see, where are my gaps and opportunities that I could get better with? And that's where a team leader needs to be able to look at those KPIs and say, we need work here. You're only getting 10 leads a month. You're not helping yourself at this point. So what can we do to generate more business up front? Maybe it's not just door knocking. Maybe we got to go to some networking events. Maybe we got to start getting in line with some realtors. Maybe we got to start getting in line with some adjusters, right? Maybe we got to start getting some networking events at an insurance agency, right? Because there's insurance agency owners where you become their direct partner. Now their book of business gets hit. They're funneling all that business to you, and you might be able to get 100 leads in a month. So teaching them, what are some ways to increase these KPIs on a monthly basis?
Are your sales managers doing shadow training, or is it through a learning management software? What is that? Like, let's say we find a gap in a closing conversion. How is a sales manager working with a sales rep to level them up around that KPI?
Yeah, directly. What we believe in is quality time, spending time with our people. The more time that they have with a leader, the more successful they're going to be. I do feel like a lot of companies try and pawn sales training off on a computer system, like a program. They think people are going to sit there and watch and learn just from videos. You could learn some basics, but I didn't learn how to sell at the highest level from watching some videos. I learned by doing. And so you want to, as a leader in an organization, because now we got over 20 team leads, which are basically almost vice presidents in our business, they got to spend quality time and put value into their people, or else in an independent contractor world, an independent contractor is going to say, I could watch this video on my own. I could read these scripts on my own. But it's different when the team lead is actually spending time and out in the field and going belly to belly with people and teaching them the scripts hands-on, or sitting down in a coffee shop and drilling those scripts and going through and making sure that they got it verbatim so they can execute in the field. So we truly believe belly to belly is the best approach. And that's after you truly get your steps and your scripts down as an organization. You want to make sure those are right. And then you want to make sure you're infusing them belly to belly with true leaders.
Love that quote, belly to belly.
Yes, sir.
Such a good rule of thumb, right? But it leaves zero ambiguity for those VP of sales. It's like, look, you're not shooting them the script to restudy it and to go out and fumble through it.
Yeah.
Like, no, get out there belly to belly and knife fight with them side by side.
You earn more respect, right? Because then your leaders are shown that they can do it too. Because a lot of times when an organization gets so big, the thing is, oh, the people at the top, they really don't know what they're doing. They're disconnected. They don't know what we go through in the field. So you don't give them that when you're actually out in the field yourself and you're able to knock a door and back them up and get wins with your people in the trenches.
Belly to belly, shadow training is going to infuse the way of doing business more effectively than any other way to train. And it's most certainly going to get folks performing. And if you're struggling with retention, this is going to be one of the best ways to shore up that problem with retention. Belly on belly, getting out in the field, behavior matters and consistent behavior matters, but it's all irrelevant if it's the wrong behavior. So make sure you have a winning formula, the behavior works, and there's accountability around it. Executing on that behavior, there's objective measures that can allow you to see leading indicators, nuances in between the sales cycle, but you're doing it belly to belly at the core, day in, day out. I mean, my goodness, that's going to create some extreme results. And as a result, you're going to have retention. And guess what? It's going to become fun because everybody's winning. And
yes, there you go. That retention shoots to the moon once everyone's winning. If everyone's getting paychecks, it's not just the person at the top making paychecks. Your organization's going to keep growing and your people are going to keep telling people to come work with you.
And you're going to be able to capitalize, have some great stories, some great high performers to highlight it within your internal marketing efforts to project that culture to your organization. So in home service, there's this metric that's pretty important. And a lot of your business is boots on the ground, getting out there, shaking hands with industry contacts like insurance companies, or going right to clients, knocking on their doors. Our business is very similar. You know, we're boots on the ground, canvassing heavy. But I'm curious, how do you stay all over speed to lead, right? Someone inquires, it's not a boots on the ground lead, someone coming in through a web lead, web form. How are you creating a culture of excellence around speed to lead?
Because you're talking about a lead that comes into the bit to the organization. Let's say they call up a sign or they go online and it's someone that wants to get an inspection. I just want to clarify.
Exactly. Because that person is going to call three other companies, and the ones that answer and talk to them, that's who they're going with, right? We all want convenience. Yeah. If I can't reach this person, I'm going to reach somebody because I just Google and I get an infinite amount of results.
Yeah.
So speed to lead is important because of that reason, right? You can lose a lot of opportunities, at least you can shave, you can add some margin by being really good at the speed in which you respond to a web form.
100%. I haven't actually heard it said that way, speed to lead. That's great. I love it, Nick. And no, to give an example, like when we have anything that comes in off of a sign or a web lead, we actually have some women that are fantastic at our office that just do a great job, that they respond immediately. They get their information and they get it over to me and the regional vice president of DFW. So if it's in DFW or Texas, that regional VP actually gets a message directly. Because sometimes, once again, we're belly to belly, we're in the field. So our regional vice president is in the field working with leaders. So we got to get it to him fast. He's not going to be looking at his email all day. So immediately when that lead comes in, especially in storm season, I'm on that message. The regional vice president is on that message. And based on where it came in, what sign did they call, that our females at the office, they immediately call that customer back as soon as we get it, find out how they got our information, what do they need. They gather that info up front, and then they send it over to us. And then we make a decision immediately on which team lead should get that inquiry. And they need to book that appointment within 2 hours. Like, they need to call that customer, book that appointment, so the customer knows when will we be there. They're not going to have, you know, have to wait 24 hours to figure out when we're going to get to their appointment. So you're absolutely right, especially in this hurricane situation here in Florida. I mean, there's so many deals that we've gotten because customers are saying roofing companies just ain't getting back to us. They're too busy, right? They're not even calling us back for 2-3 days. And we're like, how is this possible? You have to be able to respond immediately and set that appointment because you're going to be taking the business.
You ended well there. You're going to be taking the business.
Yes.
Or someone's taking it from you, right? If
that's right.
Your speed to lead is broke. It's not efficient. Clearly, you just walked us through all these processes that are ensuring quick response to an inquiry. Yes. Otherwise, competition's taking that business.
Yes.
And the unfortunate thing is it was your business. They inquired to you.
Yeah.
And if you miss that opportunity, your competitor is smiling all the way.
Oh, I mean, client. It's crazy because that's an easier opportunity than a cold door knock, right? Now, we train on making a door knock hot, and that's a whole nother topic, right? You never want to be approaching a door and you have a cold situation. You're going to, as a salesperson, you're going to make that door knock hot by certain ways that we teach it. But a lead that's inquiring to your business, it's almost like in the training world or in the fitness world when I was selling in there, you got someone coming into the club. They're interested. You just got to find out what are their needs? What is their X factor? And you got someone that's hot. You should be selling them, right? Yeah. So no, great point. I'm going to steal that, Nick. Speed to lead. I love it.
Speed to lead. Speed to lead. So I transition a little bit here, but really it's not changing the subject all too much. Going a little bit beyond just the execution, the process, some of a little bit behind the curtain, getting more into the mind. And this is something that you talk about quite a bit. What do you mean by attitude matters?
Yeah, we've talked about it even in the LA days. Hire the attitude, you can train the rest. All it takes is to have one cancerous cell in your team to spread poison and hurt your organization. So you got to make sure you're hiring the right attitude. I say, whenever I was doing, I used to do every single final interview in the company. And it's like, I would tell people, as long as you have a great attitude, you're coachable, which means they can learn our process and they give great effort. I would tell people this, I could hire a pizza boy that knows nothing about roofing, that's never done sales. And if your organization has a script and a process that is fail-proof and duplicatable, just hire the attitude, someone that's coachable, someone that gives great effort, and make them a killer. That should be your job as an organization. And I talk about it to our people. It's like a marriage, right? If one person in this relationship starts not putting their best foot forward, the relationship's probably not going to last. And we talk about this to our people. What are they doing to continuously better themselves and get better at their job as an independent contractor with us? It can't just be us as an organization leveling up our processes, procedures, our accounting, our supplement team, our back end. Like, what are they doing? So it gets them in the mind frame of constantly growing, having a growth mindset. But yeah, the attitude is critical, because you don't want people, as soon as they have a bad day or a bad week or something they don't agree with, starting to spread cancer. And that's part of our understanding your core values as an organization, making sure all of your people understand the core values, and that integrity and character and that attitude is in the utmost importance.
When we're recruiting, we talk about looking for some soft traits that are along the lines of sales DNA, grit, coachability, and work ethic, right?
Yeah.
And nothing in that said sales all-star.
Yeah.
Right? If you can add that and it has all the other components, that's ideal.
Yeah.
You can't lose there. But those are the outliers, right? The reality is that, especially when it comes to canvassing, knocking on doors, like we are leveling folks up and changing their lives by equipping them with a model that's going to produce success. And so that coachability piece is huge.
Yeah. I mean, energy, we talk about this energy, frequency, that positivity that you're exuding, all that stuff matters. People feel that, especially in a door knocking environment. Like, if you don't have a great attitude and energy about you, you're not going to attract people to want to work with you, because they got to say, why am I going to hire you as my painter on my project? Why am I going to hire you as my roofer to walk me through this insurance claim process? Like, something's got to be special and different about you. And we talk about that with our people in training.
Energy. Yeah. I think we hit on that. We refer to it as storytelling.
Yes. Right?
But we tailor to personality types. We have four personality types: directors, analytics, agreeables, extroverts. And so part of that connection, the energy, is the ability to storytell, tailor to who you're presenting to, but show up with the right art to serve and the ability to communicate expertise, right? And that should all be at the core of the process that's being executed. And we talked about those scripts and just the way of doing business. It has to be effective and it has to work and translate. Otherwise, it breaks everything, right?
Yeah.
What is anyone being coached on when we talk about belly to belly? But my point nonetheless is executing on a process that works, that's proven, it makes everything else fall into place, right? So, Tony, I have had a really great time with you on the show. Personally, I've asked a lot of my questions out of selfish interest. And yeah, I've learned a lot. I'm sure our audience has learned a lot. I'm going to wrap up the show with an easy question for you. But why do you love working with Linear Roofing?
It's the people that I'm doing it with. What's crazy is a lot of people hear the quote. I heard this the other day. People talk about, is it the journey or is it the destination? Right? You hear this quote, like, people are so focused on the destination, they should be focused on the journey. But really, it's about the people that you're doing it with. Right? And being able to slow down, appreciate those people, and having great relationships with not only the people that you're building something with, but your customers, because you want to build such a great connection with your customers that you build a lasting relationship with them. So you become their guy or gal that anytime they think about roofing, painting, whatever you're doing, they're thinking about you. They're not thinking about, oh, well, maybe this person. No. If they have a friend or family member that needs help in that category, it's about you. So I truly believe I love Linear Roofing because I'm doing it with people I genuinely care about and I genuinely love to see them leveling up. If you see on my shirt, we have this hashtag and people, I walk up to doors with this on my shirt. It says, we are not the same. Right. And it allows me to actually open and transition right into what separates us. Because in business and in sales, you have to have separators to say, why do they go with you over anybody else? We actually have this trademarked and bought as a platform, that we are not the same trademark. So it's, what is separating you from the rest? Think about that. And whatever sales that you're doing, you can't be the same as everyone else, or else you're going to get the same results. Right. So I truly believe I love Linear Roofing because of the culture, the movement of We Are Not the Same, what it stands for, what it means. It means continuously leveling up, not settling for an average life, and going and truly manifesting your dreams and everything that you want in this reality and in this world. Thank you for having me on today.
Boom. Well said. Hashtag we are not the same.
Yes, sir.
And you wrapped up here talking about the people. Clearly, Linear Roofing is a people-focused organization, changing lives, taking them to the next level. Tony, it's been a pleasure. Again, thank you for your time. I know our audience has most certainly leveled up. If they're interested in getting in touch with you, learning more, where can they reach you?
Yeah, so I have a Facebook. You can find me at Tony Taveras, T-A-V-E-R-A-S. And then my Instagram is Tony Goat, like the animal underscore Taveras, same as my TikTok. I have a YouTube channel as well. We're actually sharing a lot of episodes on storm season and roofing. I'm doing a lot of cool stuff with a production team. I'm actually creating a talk show right now that I'm doing with a big time production team. We were just featured on the cover of Roofing Contractor magazine, this month's issue, the biggest magazine in our industry. We're on the front cover. So you can find me on IG. I put a lot of content out there, a lot of bodybuilding content, a lot of roofing content. As well, you could find me on the HGTV show, No Demo Reno. I'm on the first couple of episodes. I helped start the show. You can download that on Amazon Prime. But yeah, follow me, interact with me, message me, and I'd be glad to help.
Clearly a high performer and somebody that you can learn a lot from. Go online, check them out, like, subscribe. But most importantly, please give this video a like, subscribe to the channel. It's how we're able to continue to grow, bring on rock star high performers like Tony and deliver more high performance content. And drop a comment down below. We'd love to hear your thoughts. And as always, level up.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show. Remember, it's never too late to get started on your entrepreneurial journey. Don't forget to subscribe, like, and share if you enjoyed today's segment. Catch us again next week and visit limepainting.com for more of the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show.